In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Yeah, time to talk movies. Pass the popcorn. Alan Adams of The Main Edge joining us in studio. Good Monday, sir.
Hello, how are you?
Very fine, thank you. How was that weekend?
It was pretty good. Got out to enjoy things a little bit on Saturday, which was nice. It was a beautiful day. It's one of those things where it's like, are we going to get another one of these?
I don't know.
So I think I'm going to go ahead and embrace opportunity. So I got out, played around at disc golf with a buddy, and just generally enjoyed the day. So that was nice.
That's awesome. And sometime in the last week, you got to see three different films.
We did. We did see three.
My goodness. Do we start with the box office champion, the big red dog?
Sure, we can start there if you'd like. I might have mentioned this during when we were talking about the sort of the upcoming movie preview, but I was oddly curious about this movie. Obviously not for me. Like, it's very much a kid's movie. There's some weird uncanny valley stuff happening with that dog, and you're just like, but for whatever reason, I was oddly intrigued. And I gotta tell you, Rich, like, it was a perfectly lovely time.
Well, good.
Like, I mean, it's very formulaic, as a lot of family films are. But it was, the actors were charming, had a very good cast, I'm a sucker for dogs, even computer generated ones. So it's like, oh, you want to show me a giant dog doing dog stuff, only giant? Yeah, I do want to see that.
Yep.
So the basic gist, you've got a young girl named Emily. Her name's played by Darby Camp. She's living with her. She's living in Harlem with her single mother, Maggie, played by Sienna Guillory. She's kind of struggling. She's at a new school. She's on scholarship, and so the mean girls are mean, as they tend to be in these sorts of films. But she's very well liked on her block. Like, she makes friends with, like, you know, the aspiring magician across the hall, and the two dudes who own the bodega, played by Paul Rodriguez and Horatio Sanz. There's a married couple of lawyers that she's friends with. The only one she's not charming, is Mr. Packard, the building super, played by David Alan Greer.
Oh, he's a love it.
Yep, he's a very very crusty fellow, as far as that goes. So one day, Emily's mom gets called away to Chicago for business, and so she needs someone to watch her. And despite everybody's misgivings, they decide to recruit Maggie's ne'er-do-well brother, Casey, played by the British comedian Jack Whitehall, to watch her. And it goes about as well as you'd expect. the standard, like, irresponsible adult, irresponsible child dynamic happening. One day they're taking Emily to school, and they see a animal rescue set up in the park, Britwell's Animal Rescue. And so they're like, okay, well, like, she's like, we should go. Let's go look. And he's like, all right, fine. They go in. There's a bunch of animals in there. And we meet Mr. Bridwell, a dashingly bow-tied John Cleese, who's like, you know, you should meet this dog. And, you know, so he meets, and there's this bright red puppy. And she's like, oh, he's great. And Mr. Bridwell's like, well, you know, he's very nice. She's like, how big is he going to get? And we get this line, well, it depends on how much you love him. But Casey puts his foot down. He's like, no, we can't have a dog. She's sad, but they, you know, goes about her day. She gets home that night, puts her stuff down. All of a sudden there's movement inside the backpack. There's the puppy. We don't know how the puppy got in there. Hmm. It's never actually explained to us how the puppy gets in there. But there it is. And it should be noted that no dogs allowed in this apartment.
Oh,
just by the way.
Okay.
Casey's like, well, it's too late. Okay, he can stay tonight, and we'll find this Bridwell guy in the morning. And they cuddle up, and she figures out that the dog, she decides to name the dog Clifford. And they snuggle, and it's all very lovely. She wakes up in the morning. Well, now Clifford's 10 feet tall, Rich. Apparently
she must love him a lot.
She loved him a lot. Yeah. And so now we have a giant dog and all the chaos that a giant dog entails. And then we're off to the races, and they're desperate to try to track down this Bridwell guy so they can figure out how to make Clifford small again. Meanwhile, Clifford is appearing all over social media and on the news because, you know, even in New York City, a giant, you know, a 10-foot red dog is going to attract some attention.
Sure.
Including the attention of a biotech CEO who his entire company is built around finding ways to genetically enlarge food, and they're failing miserably. Said CEO, by the way, played by Tony Hale. And he sees a video of the giant dog. He's like, that's it. That's the secret. We're going to get that dog. And so now we have our antagonist, and we're off to the races.
Ta-da.
And, yep. And it all sort of plays out about how you would anticipate it playing out. Again, like I mentioned, a wonderful supporting cast, like a great little bits here and there. Kenan Thompson plays a veterinarian in one scene that is probably the funniest scene in the movie, where they bring the giant dog to the vet to be like, what's wrong with this giant dog? And Kenan's, as he's wont to do, and it's delightful. But yeah, it's just, it's one of those movies, like the little girl's fantastic, and it's just... It was just sweet, and you know, there's something to be said for that. It's very lacking in cynicism, and you know, even with a sort of a corporate bad guy, the bad guys are so bumbling, and it's just like, okay, this is obviously going to work out okay, you know, and you get some fun bits with the giant dog doing, like I said, dog stuff only giant, so chasing like. You know those inflatable balls that people like run around inside?
Oh, yes.
Chases some of those, and there's a whole thing. And before you ask, yes, there is a scene where he pees on a tree. And big dog means a lot of pee.
Oh yeah.
And there's a bit, and the 5-year-old set is it's gonna kill. I feel very strongly about that. Like they're really gonna dig it. But yeah, like I said, like it's. It charmed me. Like, again, it's very formulaic. Like, all the beats are very recognizable. You're not going to be surprised by anything that happens in this movie. But as far as, like, just a gentle sort of good time, especially for younger viewers, like, I was pleasantly surprised. I think it's gonna do well.
All right. How about the sequel nobody really is sure they need, Home Sweet Home Alone.
I wanted because I love Home Alone.
The original was great.
Yeah, like it's such a fantastic movie. You know, and there's been some pretty significant diminishing returns in that particular franchise. And so here we are again. I mean, look, like the original made like $500 million on an $18 million budget. Like in this era of, you know, reboots and sequels, and like it was only a matter of time before we were going to get one of these movies, and this is Home Sweet Home Alone, which is streaming exclusively on Disney Plus, is very much, it's technically a sequel. There are some very deliberate nods to the original movie, but as far as how it feels, like it's more of a remake. Like it's like the set of circumstances is slightly different, but it's all sort of overlaid atop the same kind of story beats that we're all familiar with. And it doesn't really work.
Hmm.
Which is a bummer because like, and I should be clear, like it's not like it's not actively bad. Like this is not a terrible movie. The reality is the cast is so talented that the floor is just it's a high floor. Like the unfortunate part is the cast can't do anything beyond getting us to that floor. And the filmmakers, the screenwriters, the director, like nobody does this movie any favors as we go. But basic gist is we have the McKenzie family, Pam and Jeff, played by Ellie Kemper and Rob Delaney, respectively. They live in the Chicago suburbs. She's a teacher. He's an out-of-work IT guy. They're preparing for the holidays, and it turns out that they can no longer afford to stay in their house, so they're looking to sell. But they're keeping it a secret from their kids until they figure out what they're really going to do. But they have enlisted a realtor named Gavin, played by who else but Kenan Thompson. Double dip of Kenan Thompson this weekend.
Love it.
So they're basically trying to figure out what to do. And meanwhile, we have a young boy by the name of Max Mercer, played by the wonderful Archie Yates, He was in Jojo Rabbit and a number of other things. And his mom, they're in a fight. The entire extended Mercer family is in their house right now, and Max can't get a moment's peace, and they're fighting about it. And they're all there congregating because, well, they're going on a family trip for Christmas to Tokyo, because that's what you do. So they're fighting. Max is like, we need to stop. I have to go to the bathroom. And so they sneak into the open house of the McKenzies to use the bathroom. There's a weird, like unsettlingly weird sort of interaction between the young Max and Jeff, Rob Delaney's character. So we move on from there. There are a number of convoluted circumstances, but basically what it boils down to is the McKenzies realize there's this doll that that Jeff has inherited from his mother that is actually worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm. And if they could sell this doll, that'll take care of their money problems, and they'll be able to keep the house. When he realizes this, he goes to look for it, and wouldn't you know it, can't find it. And so he realizes, oh, well, that kid must have stolen it, and that sets the ball rolling. The family gets ready to go, like Max's family prepares to go on their vacation to Tokyo, but he's so stressed out that he goes and into the garage to hide out, falls asleep.
There you go.
Yeah, gets left behind. Meanwhile, the McKenzies are dealing with the surprise early visit of Jeff's brother and his wife. Jeff's brother, played by everybody's favorite Mainer, Tim Simons.
Yeah.
And his wife, who's played by Aki Daly, who's also really wonderful. Jeff decides he's going to break into this kid's house. He knows everybody's gone. He's going to go in, get the doll, get out. But Max has been left behind. And so, and then it basically plays out as we remember with Max in the role of Kevin McAllister and, Pam and Jeff McKenzie in the role of the Wet Bandits. And, it's a half hour of booby-trapped slapstick excitement that follows all due to just a lack of communication. And isn't that really the central message to all of the Home Alone movies?
Yes.
Is the lack of communication within families. Look, it's fine. It's fine. Like I had a pleasant enough time. I think the fundamental issue is there's a muddiness as far as purpose. Like, you don't know whose story it is. Like, the original, it's very clear. It's Kevin's story. But here it's like split. You've got the split narrative between Max being home alone and the weird family dynamic happening with Ellie Kemper and Rob Delaney. And so it's just sort of a lot of back and forth, and it doesn't really mesh, which means that the movie doesn't really get cooking until almost an hour in. So that's tough. It feels a little padded in that way. Like, and I'm not entirely sure how you fix that necessarily. I need to make it clear. This is by no means the fault of the cast. Everyone's really putting in the work, like even when they're not given a lot to do. Archie Yates, very talented young actor. I struggle with him largely because he is a dead ringer for 10-year-old Alan Adams.
Oh no.
Wow. Brown hair, chubby, glasses, like the whole thing. It's like I was watching and I'm like and I turned to Sharon. I'm like, this is eerie. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, now I kind of want to see it. Wow.
Yeah. No. That like dead ringer. Like, it was. It's just like, oh, okay. That is what I looked like when I was that age. Ellie Kemper and Rob Delaney are very talented comedic performers, and they really go for it. Like, especially in the slapstick stuff in the third act. Like, they really commit to the bit in a way that makes it probably a little more entertaining than it kind of has any right to be. And then you've got the various supporting cast. I mentioned Kenan Thompson. Tim Simons is great. Like, he's like, if he wants to, like, he's gonna cash checks playing the D-bag brother slash uncle slash whatever for the next 10 years. Like, he just has such a wonderful knack for that. He's great. And I'm not even mentioning, like, you know, there are quick appearances by like Pete Holmes. Chris Parnell is in this movie, like just all these wonderful comedic actors. And I should make sure, and I want to make sure I get his name right, because it is fantastic. And I'm not going to find it, and that's okay. But Devin Rattray is the guy's name. And he is a security guard that gets called, appears in a couple of scenes in this movie. His name, the character's name, Buzz McAllister. It is the same actor who played Kevin's older brother, Buzz.
Whoa!
From the original Home Alone.
Nice.
So we get a couple of nods to that.
I like that.
Yeah, it's like he gets a distress call and he's like, oh, you know, like my stupid brother Kevin's never let us forget that time, those times we left him behind, and so he calls in these fake things every year to mess with me, and so there's just a fun little sort of additional dynamic. But again, like I said, the floor is pretty high for this movie. But it never really gets beyond that, and it's kind of a bummer, because you know I have like real affection for the original, and this felt like it had a shot to maybe sort of continue along those lines. And again, I can't stress, it's not a bad movie. It just doesn't necessarily live up to what's really kind of a high bar.
All right, now we've only got a couple of minutes for Red Notice. What I'm wondering most of all is, does this make you like Ryan Reynolds more or less?
Oh man, a rock, a Reynolds, and a gal named Gal, man. This is look, Red Notice, like, it should be good. Like, it's like, you know, this massive action extravaganza. You've got three massive stars in it. They had a huge budget, big action set pieces, globe trotting heisty action movie kind of situation, and it's just blah. Uh-huh. Like it's I mean, it's, again, it's like, and it, I know I'm repeating this, but it's fine. It's just, it's fine. Like, we had an okay time with it. There are some decent set pieces that, you know, we get some quippy dialogue and you know, some pretty solid hand-to-hand combat stuff, but the story itself is pretty meandering, and you know, it centers around three jeweled eggs called Cleopatra's eggs that are these great antiquities, and some billionaire somewhere is paying someone a lot of money to assemble the three so he can give them as a gift. He enlists an international art thief named Nolan Booth. That's Ryan Reynolds. He's being investigated by an FBI profiler. That's The Rock, who's receiving tips from another international art thief. That's Gal Gadot. And there are crosses and double crosses, police actions and Russian prisons and Amazon jungles and you know, and we do eventually make it to Egypt. And Rich, if you're asking, is there a hidden Nazi bunker buried beneath the floor of the jungle in Argentina in this movie? The answer is yes.
Okay.
Like I said, it's fun. It's dumb. The pieces don't really fit together. It should probably be better than it is, but it's okay. It's Russell Thurber. This is his third movie with The Rock. He did Central Intelligence, the movie that he did with Kevin Hart, and he also directed Skyscraper, the movie where The Rock fights a building. And this is a third time. Unfortunately, not the charm for that particular team up, but you know what? All three of those folks, they're doing okay. I think they'll be all right.
I think so. Alan Adams talking movies here on Downtown. Read all about them as well, of course, in this week's edition of The Main Edge. And we'll see you Wednesday to talk about this week's paper.
Yes, you will.
Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.
Alan Adams on Downtown.